I coached soccer, and every Wednesday I'd pick him up for breakfast. But what it was actually a Bible study I had with some other kids. And he said, you know, I don't believe in this Christian stuff. And he posed me a question. It was like a divine moment in my life. He said, hey, coach, if I never become a Christian, will you still pick me up every Wednesday and buy me breakfast? So I'm driving thinking, no way, dude, this is getting expensive. And I turned to him and I said, yeah, Jamie, I'll still pick you up. 3 months later, Jamie received Christ and is still walking with the Lord today.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message where Pastor Wayne was showing us that it's not always our words that bring people to Christ. More often, it's our actions. It's a message entitled, Let It Shine, and that'll be coming up in just a moment. But we have a few extra minutes today, so join us for a moment of worship from New Hope. Now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Let It Shine.
And then you say, well, where do we start in just good deeds? Real simple. Would you write down the next one there? Number two, start with a genuine touch. Start with a genuine touch, which just simply means genuinely love people. At your office, just pray, God, help me to love them today. Even that gnarly guy that sits down at the end. That's always got a scowl on his face like he's been baptized in lemon juice. Lord, just help me to love that person. and just go do a good deed. Bring him a cup of coffee or candy bar or something, and just drop it by his desk and say, hey, just good morning. This is a good morning, good Monday morning thing here. And he first look at you first like, whoa, what happened to you? And then he'll start to open up a little bit. Just a genuine touch. How often just a good word will really touch somebody's heart? Just a good word. How often, you know, somebody will come in the elevator and we just kind of stand there. Just say, good morning. Just try it. Tomorrow morning when you're in your elevator or something and someone comes in, instead of just looking at the door, you know how people walk in? They turn around like this, look at the door. Walk in, just say, good morning, everybody. We have a meeting today. Just say, hello, good morning, good morning. And then turn around. Or don't turn around at all. It'll freak them all out, you know, just look at them. They'll probably say to you, turn around. But just say something to them. Good morning. Just a genuine touch. That's all. A genuine touch and a good word. Let's read Proverbs 12:25. Go. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Here it is. But a good makes it glad. A good what? Yeah, not a good treatise, not a good preaching, not a good message, not a good sermon. A good word. Just a good word will make it glad. A genuine touch. Now, in the parlance of football, let me just say this, and you can write it in the bullet. We need to know the difference between a touch and a touchdown. A touch and a touchdown. See, sometimes we think that if we're going to share Christ with people, we got to like bring them all the way to their knees until they're just repenting. No. Just a good touch. You see, because that's what was with me. My heart wasn't near the cross. Because I came out of rock and roll and doing all the stuff that rock and rollers do. And even though I was young, I was on the street when I was 13 years old. That's when my dad put me on a Greyhound bus, a suitcase. I was on my own. So I grew up very quickly. But I was in a rock and roll group, and I was far from the cross. If this is the cross here, I wasn't here. I wasn't here. I was about here. It's like a minus, not four, not minus five. I was a minus 10 from Christ. Because basically, I thought people like you, Christians, I thought you were weird people. Weird people. You scared me. And I thought, man, I'm going to be as far away as these Christians as I can. Because they would always denounce me, let me know how terrible I am, what I was doing wrong. And so I just stayed away from Christians as far as I could. But you know what happened? I was struggling with my car one day, and this guy who I knew was a churchgoer came by to help me with my car. And he didn't invite me to church or anything. He just helped me with my car. I thought, what a nice guy. And you know what it did? It warmed my heart a little bit towards the cross. Although I was this far from it, minus 10, it went whoop, brought me to about a minus 9 now. And then someone who's a Christian in my family sent me a really nice book. And it was unexpected. And I looked at it and I never read it, but I thought that was nice of him. That was kind of him. That was thoughtful of him. Whoop, minus 8. And then there's some people on the campus that I was at. They invited me to go to this concert. It's a Christian concert. And I mean, it was an okay concert, but still, just their kindness to think of me, just to invite me, whoop, about a minus 5. And then I had a friend that invited me because I was a guitar player. He invited me. He said, hey, there's these kids having this kids camp. He didn't tell me it was a Christian camp, but he said it was this kids camp, and they're needing a couple of guitarists to play some songs for these kiddies. He said, would you come and just like pro bono, just without charging them anything, I'm going to go and play some guitar. You want to come and play? I thought, that's cool. That's cool. He said, let's go play guitar for him. That's cool. I'll do that. So what he didn't tell me was, well, he's a Christian, and what he didn't tell me was the songs that we were playing were all Christian songs. It was like a bait and switch. But after a couple of these things of playing Christian songs, these words came into my heart, and he was a good friend of mine, and just his invitation, his trust in me, whoop, bound down to about a minus 1. Every touch just warmed my heart a little bit. Didn't take me across the line, but it warmed my heart up. Every single touch was absolutely critical in my process of coming to God. And then when I was about a minus 1, a group of Campus Crusade people sat down with me and said, hey, I want to invite you to this Bible study. And they shared with me a thing called the Four Spiritual Laws about how God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our life, but we're separated from God, but God provided a way back. And would you like to come across that bridge? I was about a minus one at that point. And you know, at that point, I stepped across the line of faith. And I think, which one of those brought me to Christ? Every single one. You got to know the difference between a touch and a touchdown. Sometimes we think we've got to bring them the whole way. No, just a touch will warm their hearts towards the Lord. My heart was like a big boulder, a rock. And if you want to split a rock, you watch those people that break rocks. They take a sledgehammer and they hit it, bang, and then again, bang. They just keep hitting it, bang. And about, let's say, the 100th blow, boom, and it breaks. He asked the question, was it the 100th blow that broke it? No, it was the 99 before it plus the 100th. Altogether, it broke that open. And the same is true. You've got people out there that is in your family that you haven't built goodwill yet with them. A good deed will build goodwill. How's that? Just through a touch. Just a touch. A touch. A genuine touch. No, not wanting to grab their scalp. Not wanting to make sure they always get to their knees. No, no, no. I remember there was a kid in this high school, and he just loved God, and he was just so bold, and he was playing in the band, and this guy next to him was a tuba. And sometimes he would make this terrible note, you know, boom, boom, bah. And he just, and this kid playing the tuba would go, excuse my language, but he'd say, Jesus Christ. And the Christian kid next to him would say, loves you, and Jesus Christ loves you, shut up. And just that little touch began to soften his heart. It wasn't a condemning thing. It was just a corrective thing that just brought encouragement. I remember another boy named Jamie. He was in my soccer team, and I coached soccer, and every Wednesday I'd pick him up for breakfast, free breakfast. I'd pay for his breakfast. But what it was actually a Bible study I had with some other kids, and I just brought Jamie along, gave him breakfast, and he didn't know God and wasn't interested in God, but I picked him up. And after about six of these times of buying him breakfast and picking him up, I picked him up one morning, and he looked at me and he said, Coach, he said, you know, I don't believe in this. And he pointed to my Bible on the seat. I don't believe this book. I said, that's all right. He said, you know, I don't believe in this Christian stuff. So that's all right. Then he posed me a question. It was like a divine moment in my life, a defining moment. He said, hey, Coach, if I never become a Christian, will you still pick me up every Wednesday and buy me breakfast? Now, at this point, my mind is going zzzz. So I'm driving thinking, no way, dude, this is getting expensive. But it was a real defining moment for me. And I turned to him and I said, yeah, Jamie, I'll still pick you up. I'll still pick you up. He said, okay. And I kept going, driving down the road. 3 months later, Jamie received Christ. He's married to a wonderful Christian lady and is still walking with the Lord today. And I looked back on that and I thought, that was a touch, not a touchdown, a touch. But enough of those will help him to step across the line. There's a lot of people in our immediate circle that are still looking for a touch, a touch. You take a look at, remember the Good Samaritan story? The Good Samaritan story where a Levite and a priest passed by a guy needing help. Neither of them helped this person. But a Samaritan went by and said he helped this guy. Now, he didn't try to get him to church. He didn't even try to lead him to Christ. Doesn't say anything about that. He just helped him, helped him. And the Lord takes that story and he gives a lesson about good deeds. And let's read what it says in Luke chapter 10. It's there in your notes. Would you read it with me? He asks them, go. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Then he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. Watch this. Then Jesus said, go and do the same. Yeah. In other words, the Lord is saying, that's the beginning of salvation for thousands and thousands of people. And we need to do that far and wide. to build goodwill. Now remember, good deeds will build good will that leads a person to being open to the good news.
Yeah.
Now, I'll talk to you a little bit about this story here. It's a great story. Because the story is classically called the story of the, what, Good Samaritan. But in order to help you to understand it in more of a Hawaii setting with its Asian influence, let's take a look at how it might have taken place, maybe even here near Chinatown. You will notice in this story that the lesson is about a neighbor. It took place between Jerusalem and Jericho, but it might as well have happened right here in Hawaii between Chinatown and Kalihi. Now, a man was going down to Kalihi, minding his own business, and he fell among robbers. Now, they were hiding. This hoodlums, they beat him and stripped him until he was unconscious. They went away and left him half dead. Now by chance, a New Hope intern was going down that road. And when she saw him, she said,
"He's fainted."
And she passed by on the other side. Now, an assistant pastor came by who prided himself in knowing the law.
"There is no law here, except the law that I make."
He took matters into his own hands, plus a little bit more. And he too passed by on the other side. However, a good Samaritan came upon him. He was on a journey and he stopped and felt compassion. He looked at him and felt a love, a genuine love for him. He bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him. He put him on his own beast and took him all the way to an inn, and there he sat all night watching over him. Now the next day, he took out 2 tens and gave it to the innkeeper and said, "I must thank you,
please. I must thank you
for helping me." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and do likewise." That's a story of the Good Samaritan. But you know, I thought, there's got to be more of an ending to it because these hoodlums need to have a level playing field. So I thought, maybe it should end like this. After a while, returning to the scene of the crime, this good Samaritan went to resolve the problem with these hoodlums by offering them forgiveness. But instead of receiving forgiveness, the leader of the hoodlums said,
"What brings you here?"
That was it.
"Pay you a visit,"
the Samaritan said. And at this point, the arm of the Lord was revealed against the sinners, leaving them to reconsider their ways. Now that's a better ending of the Good Samaritan story, don't you think? Now don't take that ending to the bank because that's not in the Bible, but that's all right. So good deeds leads to goodwill, which leaves a person's heart open to the good news. Some of you say, "Well, I do have goodwill built with a bunch of people." Good. Then number 3, would you write down, know the power of a simple invitation. How many people, even the disciples, were brought to Christ because of an invitation? Listen to this in John 1, it says this. Now one of the two of them who heard John was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah." In other words, even Peter was invited by Andrew. It was an invitation. And then continuing, Jesus found Philip and he said, "Follow me." Philip went out and found Nathanael. How did Nathanael become a disciple? Because he was invited. Simply the power of an invitation. And when Nathanael saw the Lord, he said, "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." There's a power of an invitation. It was in 1856. There was a man named Mr. Kimball that invited his shoe clerk to church. Invited him. That man said, "Okay, I'll go." The man happened to be D.L. Moody, who now we have the Moody Institute. Became a great evangelist. He was over in England when he talked to a bunch of pastors about reaching out. And one of the people there, one of the pastors, was a man named F.B. Myers. F.B. Myers was a writer and a speaker, and it so charged his heart. He was a campus speaker, went to college campuses. Went to a college campus and spoke. And J. Wilbur Chapman was one of the students that received Christ. And he began a thing called the YMCA. At the YMCA, he brought young men off the street, gave them a place to stay, and they would have a chapel. One of the chapels, he brought in a man named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday would preach, and many of them would receive the Lord. And so it worked so well, he invited another one named Mordecai Ham, who was another wonderful speaker. And these college students would come to hear this. Now, another person that was invited was a young student. He received Christ. His name was Billy Graham. Billy Graham opened his heart to Christ because of an invitation. By 1972, Billy Graham had spoken to over 20 million people with the gospel of Christ. How'd that happen? Someone invited him. Just an invitation. The power of an invitation. And I remember it was back in 1972. A place called Dallas, Texas, where Billy Graham spoke to a bunch of other college students, charging them to hear a call to full-time ministry. I was in that crowd. I remember that. And when he spoke that, I was one of them that stood up and said, "I will receive that call." An invitation. The invitation that passes down. And I looked at my life, where it's come from. Started in 1856 with a man that invited a shoe clerk to church. And it just popped all the way down to me. The power of an invitation can go over centuries, one after another, one after another. The power of an invitation. Go and ask. Just invite. If they say no, it was a touch. It may have brought them to a -9. It's all right. It may get them someone else thinking, and now they're from an 8 to a 7. It's all right. And if we all will do that, do you understand how we just start to warm people up towards the cross? That's what the church is all about. And when God says, if you'll do that, you'll be letting your light so shine before men, so they'll see your good deeds and one day glorify Father in heaven. As I live, saith the Lord, my glory will be over all the earth, so let it shine. That's what we get to do till he takes us home to eternity. I want to be a part of that. Will you? Will you? Amen. Let's do that. Let's do that. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you so much for a great church called New Hope Christian Fellowship. And we're learning what it means to be a people called by God so that we can face you and receive your light, but in such a way, not be opaque where we absorb everything for ourselves, but we reflect it as we position ourselves in such a way that we can reflect your light through good deeds to others. That's the surface, the good deeds. That's the surface that has to be genuine and pure and clean. Not for scalp, not for any other reason, but just to serve. But in a way that it leads them closer, warms their hearts to the cross, because that's where eternity begins for them. Help us to be those couriers of that message, ambassadors for Christ. Now, Lord, would you take that, seal it to our hearts, help us to remember who we are. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God with a clap offering, would you? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Help us to shine, oh God. Let's sing that song.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay, Spirit, lay. Set our hearts on fire. Flood the nations with
you a hug.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Let It Shine by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and Aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.